It's not like he's along for the ride. What he does makes Buckner better. What he does makes Ford better.
That's exactly my point.
And it's clear.
Yeah.
I mean, he's putting as much in the grocery cart as he is taking out.
Alden ran past guys because Justin Smith was holding on to two or three other guys.
Yeah. DJ Jones on his rookie teammate.
He's just so special. I haven't seen anybody like him. This past game, we were all on the sideline saying that I've never seen a performance like this. Three sacks, an interception. The return was better than the interception. It's crazy. There's nobody I can compare him to. Of course, his brother, but he's a man of his own.
I mean, you got NFL players, three-year veterans in this league, getting longer in the tooth, in awe of a guy seven games into his career. Can't believe it. Now, from the text line, Damon, Chris Webber, he flashed as a rookie. Correct. You're right about that. He did. Damon, Rick Barry, rookie of the year.
Way back machine.
Yeah, you had to literally go back before I was born to pull that out. Thank you very much.
No, but he's right.
Yeah, no,
he's absolutely
right. He is. I'll even give you one. Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman might be the best third baseman since he's debuted pretty much with the A.
Except Nolan Arenado
might have something to say
about
that.
But we'll give him the AL, right?
Yeah.
Best AL third baseman.
How generous of you.
Yeah.
Someone said, what did Jerry Rice look like as a rookie? He didn't look like Jerry Rice.
He had to grow into it. Yeah. In fact, when he talked to us last time, he was probably a bit generous to him. I remember it taking at least half a season.
888-957-9570 is the number. Your call's coming up. The most important call of the day, though, is coming from Michael Irvin as we get into our 4 o'clock hour.
KFM West Sacramento. Kolick and Wingo in the morning. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky afternoons. ESPN 1320, a radio.com sports station.
Obviously, we got a ton to talk about with Michael Irvin this week, with the Niners now just at a place in their season nobody thought that they would get to. 7 wins in 7 weeks of football. That is absurd for a team that some people, said might top out at 7 wins this year. It's a good time to be watching the 49ers because there's actually a very significant football team doing things week in, week out that are important if you want to go somewhere when this all starts dancing for real in the playoffs. Michael Irvin, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. You see him on NFL Network, a radio.com insider as well. He is the playmaker appearing on the Dial Pad guest line and courtesy of Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Good to have you on again, Mr. Michael Irvin. How are you, pal?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys, dude?
We're doing really well. We talked to DJ Jones earlier today, about an hour ago. He got his first ever career sack playing with the Niners this week, and that defensive line was eaten all afternoon. We asked him about Nick Bosa and what he had, who he compared him to. And I would like to play for you. Here's what DJ Jones told us about Nick Bosa.
He's just so special. I haven't seen anybody like him. This past game, we were all on the sideline saying that I've never seen a performance like this. Three sacks, an interception. The return was better than the interception. It's crazy. There's nobody I can compare him to. Of course, his brother. But he's a man of his own.
Michael, when a rookie has vets gawking from the sideline, that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, you know what, I can't even tell you how much you just spoke right there. Such truth, such gospel. I remember I was sitting in the box with Jerry Jones and it's so funny, I promise you, when Dak Prescott first got in the game in with the Rams. They were returning to the Rams, playing the game in L.A., returning to L.A. Dak threw a touchdown to Dez Bryant. And Jerry said, oh, look at that touchdown. Did you see that throw? I said, Jerry, you're looking at the wrong thing. I said, don't look at the throw. Don't look at the touchdown. Look at the sideline. I said, you see the sideline? Everybody was up watching that play, watching that young man. And I said to Jerry then, because he was contemplating bringing in another backup quarterback, I said, hope will always dictate effort. And if you bring in another backup quarterback, you're going to bring in hopelessness to the situation. But when you see all of that, that's hopeful. And everybody will give more effort as long as he's on the field. That's exactly what Nick Bosa is bringing right now to the San Francisco 49ers. When he's on the field, everybody's up watching and looking because he brings hope, and hope will dictate effort, and you see more guys playing above that they, what they usually play because they're giving more effort because of that hope.
Traditionally, I think players, you know, they hear people talk nicely about them, and they kind of let it roll off their back. But when you start hearing it from the people you're playing against, is that the standard? Was that the standard for you, one? And is that the standard for most players? When my contemporaries are telling me that to my face, then I'll buy it.
The people you're playing against and the people that you looked up to all your days as you were playing. Jerry Rice, first time I met Jerry Rice, and I had Jerry Rice in my locker. In my locker in Miami, in my locker even at Dallas. And I, it was the 91 season. I had won receiver of the year. And the first time I met Jerry Rice, I told his story at an event where I was introducing him a couple months ago in L.A. And the first time I met him, he walked up to me at the Pro Bowl. And he was like, "Hey, Irv." I said, "God almighty, Jerry Rice just called my name." I said, "Just don't say anything. Make him call you again. Hey, Irv." And I said, "Hey, what's up? Oh, world? What's up, Jerry?" He said, "Oh, I just want to tell you, it was a great competition, great chase. I didn't get you this year, but I will get you next year. I'm already trained." That's why you play. That's why you play. All the guys that Nick Bosa has looked up to, all the guys that he is playing against, to have those guys acknowledge you, says you're in the game now. You're in the game of the best boys in this game. Absolutely, that means a great deal to you, man. But I'm so happy for Nick, too, because like I told you guys, I watched him in high school at St. Thomas at my high school, and he's playing with my son. And I knew this kid was going to be special, man. He's a hard worker, and he has a motor. You don't usually see people with that kind of a talent have that kind of a motor, but he does. That makes him so special.
So let me just ask you this, Michael. If there was right now a redistribution draft for all the defensive players in football, how high do you think Nick Bosa would go?
Hey, what do you mean? Nick Bosa would go very high. Right now, we're starting to talk about Nick Bosa in the same breath as Aaron Donald.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
So
Aaron
top three?
Right. And people are starting to talk about now defensive MVP if he stays on this path. And there is nobody in this league that we compare to Aaron Donald that we put in the same breath as Aaron Donald.
I love the way that you give us a breath before you actually say breath. Michael Irvin.
Just to bring it home so you can not just hear it, but you can feel it, visualize it. It's called in this business, you know, the visceral effect.
This is not an interview. This is a performance, ladies and gentlemen.
Or it's an asthma attack.
No, it could be that, too. Let's get Michael his breathalyzer. Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. What did you think of Emmanuel Sanders' debut? We didn't see a lot of him, but, boy, he was impactful in the end zone and on third down.
Yeah, and I was so happy for Emmanuel Sanders, man. That's one of my favorite dudes in the NFL. You know, he usually comes in with us in the offseason, especially since he's been in Denver, and there was, you know, they were not going anywhere. He came in and did the shows with us, man. He has a bright future beyond football in the TV business. And I knew that his transition would be made easy because the offenses are very similar. You know, the terminology are very similar. And I know that he'd be so happy to be in a winning organization now. It's a different atmosphere in the locker room. We talked about this, and you heard him mention it in the interview. How these guys are having fun, man, and they're winning. Can you imagine how happy he is to be leaving a situation that was in Denver, coming to a place like San Francisco now where you're undefeated, you're one of the worst teams in the league, now you're on one of the best teams in the league, you're undefeated, and you see playoffs and a possible Super Bowl in front of you. I'm just so happy it worked out for him.
Speaking of Denver, do you think Joe Flacco was the fourth or fifth person to notice that his neck was hurting?
What do you mean a fourth or fifth person to notice?
Well, he criticizes the coach and the play calling, and the next day, all of a sudden, he's got a neck issue that he can't play on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. So who do you think? I can't even speak to that because then people start saying, "Well, Michael says Joe Flacco's quitting on his team and all of that stuff," you know. And whenever I will tell you this, and we've seen this year with the Jalen Ramsey, there are certain things, there are certain injuries that cannot always be quantified. That you can't always say, "Okay, you see this on the MRI or you can see that." That's a back injury, and sometimes a neck injury. You just got to take a person's word that is hurting and sit them down. A back injury and a neck injury. And I'm not saying that Joe's not hurting. I'm just saying that information I know.
Michael, since we're talking about injuries, a very odd situation between the New York Jets and guard Kelechi Osemele. A huge difference in camps. Kelechi literally elects to have surgery. The Jets are fining him, saying that he shouldn't have done that. He should be playing through pain. Where do you stand on that, and how quickly could that divide a locker room?
That's quickly. Because listen, man, we're seeing now this is getting crazy. That's what the situation that happened with Trent Williams in Washington. You know, there's always the push to get guys back on the football field. And we just talked about this. You see situations like shoulders, all of those other injuries, they think they know more than you are. They think they know more than you are. And this kid said, "No, man, I'm hurting, and I'm going to get the surgery, and I don't care what you guys say." And then they're like, "Hey, you know, you did that outside, you're on your own." It's a tough situation. But I'll tell you what, you just have to be very careful with that. They have to be very careful. You can lose a locker room, man. You can really lose a locker room. And I think that they are losing that locker room. I know Jamal Adams, and I know Dallas have been trying to get Jamal Adams. And I've talked with them today. And I know people are talking about now leaving the Jets. Trust me. You have to be careful when the medical staff is starting to do things like that and pushing back against players who are hurt.
More to the point, well, to advance the point a little more, how much do free agents immediately just cross teams off their list as a direct result of things like this?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Because trust me, that matters. That will matter now. Now, you always get to a point where you're putting so much money on the table that a guy drops that concern. You know, say, "Okay, I no longer have that concern because there's just so much money on the table." But when you give an all-out, if all things are equal, and this team is offering this team is offering that, that becomes the weighing factor to turn someone one way or the other. And that's why you have to be careful. There's no thing that you can do where you say, "Hey, this is just an isolated situation and it only affects this issue." Everything you do, we'll come back somehow, some way.
Tangentially related to the subject of injuries, obviously, short week for the Niners this week. You, when you were playing, didn't have regular Thursday games, but you did this pretty much once a year playing on Thanksgiving, right? So how much does that affect your body? How much more dangerous do you think it is to try that sort of fast turnaround? And is this something that you think the NFL should maybe not be doing safety-wise?
Well, that's a great question. I absolutely love Thursday night football. I love the idea that we start the weekend with football and end it on Monday night with football. I guess that's me because I'm a football drunk or football alcoholic, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. But it is tough on your body now to one degree because it's quick turnaround. But even that week that you do the quick turnaround, what you try to do is pull over some things that you had in the game plan the week previous, and you can stick in the game plan for that Thursday night game. There's no real padded practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You know what I mean? So you really get days off. And then when you turn around after that Thursday night game, because it is hard to get back up for that game because you're really just coming out of your soreness, or you get to a good 10-day break. And I really enjoyed that 10-day break. Mm-hmm. I mean, oof, let me tell you something. After that Thursday game, well, we got drunk as a stall. It was like, hey, it's okay. We could be drunk. You know, usually after Sunday's game, you have your few, but we still have to show up and watch some film Monday and then be back out there Tuesday again. You know what I mean? So it kind of turns around quickly. But that Thursday game, oh, my God, we all got drunk as a skunk on that Thursday, after that Thursday game. Kidding, man. I knew we had 10 days. You know, and you get to go tell you, hey, take Friday off. I'll see you, you know, on the weekend. Come in and do some things on your own. And if you won't watch the film, so at what point, you're arguing about it. Like, yeah, we had two around this week. But right after the game, you're like, yeah, that was great.
Everybody loves a three-day weekend. Everybody loves a three-day weekend.
Especially when you're pouring it on and drinking it up.
That explains another reason why you are a football drunk.
That's why I am a football drunk. You're right. Which means I just consume the game. I love the game. I am a football drunk.